man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome, folks. You're tuned into the Trump Phenomenon.
I can hear you. All day long.
January 8th, 2018. Well, that feels nice to say 2018. This, of course, is going to be a momentous year. There's no way, no two ways about it. An awful lot's going to happen in 2008, and we'll cover it right here on the Trump Phenomenon. With me tonight, Paul Fromm. Thanks, Paul, there in Canada.
Yeah, it's good to be here as usual.
And folks, you too here are here as usual, and you've got the opportunity to call at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And I would be especially interested in any comments you have about something that happened directly related to the Trump phenomenon in the last 24 hours or 48 hours. To keep the audience up to date. And that's, it's a real challenge, folks. Things are going pell-mell in such a way that it's hard to keep up. It's I find myself huffing and puffing, trying to keep up with the news every day. And I'm sure you do as well. And that's, I guess, can be a good thing and a bad thing. But when things are going well, it's altogether a good thing. As we announced last night, for instance, the news about the economy, this aspect of it anyway, the value of the stock market having gone up. Donald Trump tweeted a week ago that it had gone up $6 trillion since his election, from $18 to $25 trillion, the total value of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And that, of course, is not the total value of American industry at all. Not every company is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Far from it. But the a week later, he had to revise his tweet. His tweet a week later pointed out that the economy or the value of those stocks had gone up $7 trillion. And just to put a scale on that amount of money, if you remember back in the banking crisis, all of us patriots were quite exercised about the expenditures by the Federal Reserve System and their apparent unlimited printing of money to, as we took it, basically bail out big banks and investment firms like Goldman Sachs, that the Federal Reserve was being the handmaiden of these insider financial institutions, printing money as fast as their presses could go to, they actually don't print the money, the Department of Treasury does, but they engineer that printing should take place. And and of course, a lot of it's not printed money. It's just, it's credit that's created out of thin air by bookkeeping notations. But the scale of that Federal Reserve hanky-panky that we were so rightly excited about was $2 trillion. That's what that amounted to. Is, in the articles at the time, we don't know for sure exactly what they spent or did. But you recall hearings in Congress and so on where, who was it who said he wouldn't answer the question? I forget which Federal Reserve chairman told Ron Paul he wouldn't answer the question, What happened to that $2 trillion? but here, just to give you the scale, Donald Trump has caused an increase in value, and I'm attributing it to Donald Trump here. Of course, that's an, I think, a reasonable statement, $7 trillion. Now, that's $7 trillion worth of liquidity and capital that's been pumped into the system that's actually really there, as opposed to the bookkeeping entry of the $2 trillion that the Federal Reserve created. So that increase of $7 trillion in the value of stocks and bonds, that does not cause inflation. It just means that your 401k or your retirement plan or whatever other institution you want to talk about is stronger, has more wealth, can do more, could finance more, and so on. So the but anyway, that news is coming. And the other thing we noticed yesterday, Donald Trump pointed this out, that the latest increase of 1,000 points in the Dow Industrial was the fastest in history. So not only is the stock market going to unheard of heights, the angle of the graph is steeper than it's ever been before. So that's pretty exciting stuff. So we'll try to share with you some of the good news. I've only perceived good news in the last 24 hours, so we'll try to share some of that with you. There are more developments in the Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, Fire and Fury book episode. And Donald Trump also gave a rousing speech today at the in Nashville at the American Farm Bureau Convention. So we'll cover a little of that. And the let's listen to Donald Trump. Started out with the man himself. Back it up here a little bit. At this point in his speech, he's closing the speech, and a very enthusiastic audience of farmers. You can imagine these are the people who voted. This is one of the groups of people who voted for Donald Trump. Rural America went overwhelmingly for the Patriot president. You know, the opposition to Donald Trump really was centered in just a few urban areas, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and, you know, cities like that. You take those off the map, and Hillary Clinton really does poorly. So we really have two Americas. This is shaping up. Let's go to what Donald Trump was saying here today in Nashville.
Tennessee. You ever hear of Andrew Jackson of Tennessee? He's a great general and a great president. And his ragtag militia of patriots who are ready to fight to defend American independence. In December of 1814, Jackson and his Tennessee volunteers had made their way to New Orleans to defend that crucial port from the British. Through grueling winter weeks, horrible weather, icy rain, hunger, and sleepless nights, a few thousand American patriots fought to hold back a British force nearly twice as large and that everybody thought was totally unstoppable. Finally, on this day, 203 years ago, the British launched their full-scale attack, and it was brutal. It was brutal. They expected to secure a swift victory and seize control of the Mississippi River, and that would have been catastrophic for what we were doing. It was not the first time the British had underestimated the American spirit. Do you notice how so many people underestimate the Americans? They're not underestimating us so much anymore, folks. But Jackson's men quickly proved them very, very wrong. Within only one half an hour, an outnumbered force, the American force, achieved victory over one of the world's mightiest empires and one of the strongest armies ever seen, Tennessee. Congratulations, Tennessee. I like you too. I like you too, Tennessee.
a big crowd.
The Americans held their ground. Independence was secured. Andrew Jackson's name was etched into history. And those patriot farmers proved once again that, in the words of Andrew Jackson, farmers are the basis of society and true friends of liberty. Great story. Love that story. Have great respect for Andrew Jackson. Today, the battle of New Orleans lives on in the American soul, and it lives on in each and every one of you. Our task is to preserve the freedom that American soldiers have fought for and died for in every generation. Our task is to uphold the values and principles that define who we are as a nation and as a people. Our task is to love, cherish, and protect the flag and the Constitution of the United States. If we do these things, if we reawaken the confidence that inspired Jackson's victory, yeah, our country is getting its confidence back again. The character that stormed the beaches of Normandy and the courage that sent pilgrims across the ocean and astronauts to the moon, then there is nothing we can't do.
I'll pause it right there, folks. That was your president today in Nashville, Tennessee, saluting one of the presidents he admires the most, maybe the most, which is Andrew Jackson, whose home, the Hermitage, is right there in Nashville. I got to visit that when I attended American Renaissance, the American Renaissance Conference of Jared Taylor, just outside of Nashville. So a few months ago, I guess the months are adding up now, but the last conference. And the Jackson was a man who, he was a man unto Donald Trump's heart. And he mentioned, just before the comments you just heard, he mentioned the burning of the White House. And I'm noticing here, Paul, I didn't realize this. I was just reading this while we were listening to Donald Trump. Part of the British rationale, and Donald Trump got it right. The British Army, folks, was the most powerful army in the world, unchallenged in that regard. They were the top for how long, Paul? More than a century, more than that. And the British fleet was even more. Had total sea supremacy.
Yeah, British hegemony went pretty much from about 1750 till the First World War. Much of it was based on the supremacy of the British Navy. You know, for all the anti-white garbage that's pumped out there, blacks should be on their knees every day to rule Britannia. It was the Royal Navy that swept the slavers off the Atlantic in the 1820s and 30s. They shamelessly interfered in the slave trade. It wasn't considered to be okay in international waters. They went after the slavers and interdicted all sorts of slave ships and undoubtedly set slavery back a great deal. Incidentally, those were white people on those Royal Navy ships.
Yes, and folks, that's the right answer for us as white folks when somebody brings up this canard of slavery that we are guilty for and that we must make penance for the slavery. Wrong. What we as white people should have as a claim when it comes to the question of slavery is that we ended it. We didn't start it. We didn't promote it the way other peoples have, but certainly we alone ended it. And it hasn't ended worldwide. I mean, slavery has existed up to the present moment, but in Asia, slavery was the rule. In Africa, even more so the rule. The slaves that were brought to America were already slaves. White people didn't go into the jungle and round up black people and throw them into chains. None of that occurred. They were slaves. They were African slaves who the local tribal chieftains along the coast of Western Africa and Central Africa, they saw a good opportunity and they sold some of their slaves to slavers, who also, some of them were white people. Some of the captains were white. One of my grandfathers owned a slave, the governor of Rhode Island. We try to remember his name, Caleb Carr. In 1692, in his will, he left his Negro to his wife.
Is that because he loved her or he hated her?
No, it was just his will, and I was reading his will, you know, and he left all of his properties and so on. And then he got to his Negro, and he said, to my dearly beloved wife, I leave my Negro. It doesn't give a name or a sex or anything. It's just his Negro. And, you know, this is the governor, folks. If you try to think of a liberal state, you know, in America today, Rhode Island leaps right to the fore. Yeah. Well, he was the governor. He was the governor in 1692 of Rhode Island. So slavery was a worldwide institution. Our ancestors in colonial America, you know, participated. Some of them, like my grandfather, Caleb Carr, they participated in it, North and South. Some of them participated in the slave trade. There were other slave traders, Arab, Jewish, you know, who were not white whites, who were heavily involved in the slave trade. But we are distinguished for being the people that ended slavery. And as you say, those British sailors and those British fleets and so on, they fought to end slavery.
Unlike most of the things that a country's navy does, which are in some ways, you know, for their own self-interest to protect their commercial interests or their people, this was actually done out of Christian altruism. Going after the slavers didn't put money in the pockets of the British government. It was seen as a necessary humanitarian effort, pretty much like when there's an earthquake or a hurricane today, and other countries are devastated. That civilized nations of the world rally to their aid. They send. They send some medicine, or they send blankets or tents or medical equipment. Back then, there's no immediate benefit for a country to do that. It's done because, I think generally because it's seen to be the humanitarian and the right thing to do. And the same back then. I think we should be less and less tolerant of having our history just endlessly slagged, racist, oppressors, slavers, blah, blah, blah. There's still slavery in the world today, James, and there are more slaves than there probably were when Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves in the United States. But they're mostly blacks or Indians, and they're owned by Arabs or by other Indians or Bangladeshis. And their lot is really pretty terrible. But you don't hear Oprah or Jesse Jackson running their mouths about that.
Yes. And we can connect. And another aspect of slavery, folks, it's little realized, and we in the, the pro-white movement, it falls upon us to point this out and save this from the memory hole. The enslavement of white people was very massive, and it was done by Arabs and Muslims who turned the entire Mediterranean into a hellish place to be, a completely unsafe place for white people to travel, even to inhabit the coastal towns of Italy, southern France, Spain. Of course, the Muslims had taken over the entirety of almost the entirety of Spain, the Adriatic. These were very dangerous places to live if you were along the shore. The Arabs actually even came to Rome. They actually conquered Rome itself. They failed. There was one spot they failed to conquer in Rome. you know where I'm going with that. We'll be right back with that. Stay tuned.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be.
We're back, folks. And with Donald Trump's mention today at his speech at the Nashville Convention of the American Farm Bureau, mentioning the burning of Washington as well as the White House by the British Army in the War of 1812, and I think that occurred in 1814. I filmed British. The chairman of the British National Party, Nick Griffin, who then later, after that, I filmed him there in front of the White House. He went on to become elected to the European as a member of the European Parliament, in which he did some fantastic service and gave some great speeches for our people in front of the Strasbourg and Brussels at the European Parliament. And that was when the BNP was really doing well. They actually elected what is tantamount really to the election of a U.S. senator to be elected to the European Parliament.
Actually, they elected two.
Yes. And the I got to film Nick Griffin, and we were standing in front of the south fence of the and south entrance of the White House, which is where we heard Donald Trump in that fantastic victory speech on the tax cut. But I was standing there with Nick and his wife Jackie Griffin, and a few members of the British National Party and some of us patriots who had actually just been at the American Renaissance Conference. We went into Washington to do some filming. We went to the top of the Washington Monument, filmed Nick and Jackie there. And the world has actually never seen this footage. It is actually made into a video that, you know, just hasn't really been released. But anyway, that was one of the things Nick mentioned as he was looking at the White House. He says, ah, this. He says, yes, the White House. Let's see, we burned it, didn't we?
And, not the best way to win friends and influence people in the United States.
But I'm just going to go into this slavery question here. There's some really good information that just about nobody knows. The Congress of Vienna in 1814, which ended the Napoleonic Wars, led to increased European consensus on the need to end Barbary raiding. The sacking of Palma on the island of Sardinia by a Tunisian squadron, which carried off 158 inhabitants, roused widespread indignation. Britain had by this time banned the slave trade. This is 1814. And was seeking to induce other countries to do likewise. States that were more vulnerable to the corsairs, and corsairs, that's a nice word for the Muslims, complained that Britain cared more for ending the trade in African slaves than stopping the enslavement of Europeans and Americans by the Barbary states. And again, that's the Muslim states. In order to neutralize this objection and further the anti-slavery campaign in 1816, Britain sent Lord Exmouth to secure new concessions from Tripoli, Tunis, and Algiers, including a pledge to treat Christian captives in any future conflict as prisoners of war rather than slaves. They treated us as slaves. While he was negotiating, a number of Sardinian fishermen who had settled at Bona on the Tunisian coast were brutally treated without his knowledge. Let's see here. So he went after the Muslims. And I'll skip down here. Slavers continued to take captives by preying on less well-protected peoples. And the corsair slave trade did not cease until France conquered Morocco and Algeria in 1830. So that's what we had to do. We had to conquer the area to civilize it, which is kind of that's been the story. According to Robert Davis, historian, between 1 million and 1.25 million Europeans were captured by Barbary pirates. And let's get that straight. They're not Barbary anything. They're Muslim pirates, and sold as slaves in North Africa and the Ottoman Empire between the 16th and 19th centuries. So in 300 years, folks, 1 million to 1.25 million Europeans. That's quite on the same scale as the African slave trade. America, for instance, we are thought to have brought 300,000 black slaves to America. Now, what was that like? What was the slave trade like? Let's compare our slave practice with that of the Muslims. From bases on the Barbary coast, North Africa, again, Barbary, it's a way of concealing Muslim. and I'll get into some of the interesting details, how they treated women, children, and men, pretty brutal. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
When this war is over, it will be but a day.
Got one caller on the line, George in Texas, and here's a story. How many people have heard of this story? But this is what was really going on. You know, it's amazing, Paul, how our history has been turned into something, contorted into something quite unlike what actually happened. Here is the. I was reading about the slave trade, and. Let me go here to the in the Barbary pirates, the Muslim pirates. Their primary goal was to capture people for sale as slaves. One of those slaves that you've heard of is Miguel de Cervantes, the author of Don Quixote, who was held for almost 5 years. Others were sold into various types of servitude. Attractive women or boys could be used as sex slaves. Let that sink in. Attractive women or boys could be used as sex slaves. captives who converted to Islam were generally freed, since enslavement of Muslims was prohibited. Well, that's nice. But this meant that they, the white people, could never return to their native countries. Captives often suffered from privation on voyages to North Africa if taken at a distance. Those who survived the journeys, remember we hear all these stories about African slaves, you know, they died on the ships and it was so horrible and Simon Legree was whipping them and so on. Those who actually slaves in America lived an idyllic life compared to what is being described here. Those who survived the journeys were often forced to walk through town as they were taken to slave auctions. The slaves typically had to stand from 8 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon while buyers viewed them. Now, by the way, these are your ancestors, folks. I guarantee it. 1 million to 1.25 million between the 16th and 19th century, these include your ancestors. And there were plenty before that. Next came the auction where the townspeople would bid on the captives they wanted to purchase. Skip down here a little bit. The captives, the slaves would be forced to run and jump around to show their strength and stamina. And the hard manual labor is what awaited them, or housework to most women slaves. And you can imagine what else they were required to do. At night, the slaves were put into prisons, which were often hot and overcrowded. However, these were nothing compared to, let me go to the next thing down, the galley slaves, your ancestors who were on Muslim galleys. Most Barbary galleys were at sea for around 80 to 100 days a year. There were no exceptions to this. Galley slaves of the Ottoman Sultan in Constantinople would be permanently confined to their galleys, serving extremely long terms, averaging around 19 years in the late 17th century. So that's, folks, when my ancestor, the governor of Rhode Island, a grandfather of mine, when he had his Negro in 1692, that's the late 17th century. Well, his white kinsmen were on galleys for the Muslims. Slaves rarely got off the galley, but lived there on the ship for years. Rowers were shackled and chained where they sat, never allowed to leave. Sleep was limited. Eating, defecation, and urination took place at the seat to which they were shackled. Did anybody ever tell you that in university history class?
No.
These are not controversial facts, folks. This is not made up stuff. There were usually 5 or 6 rowers on each oar. You know, the famous Battle of Lepanto, where the Christian fleet defeated the Ottoman fleet. Well, a lot of the rowers in those Ottoman galleys were, hey, white folks. Overseers would walk back and forth and whip slaves considered not to be working hard enough. Now here's what, here, just to give you an interesting, you know, how real this was for us. When Charles Lindbergh flew by dead reckoning across the, by the stars from New York, from Long Island to Le Bourget in Paris, the first land he sighted was the very southernmost tip of the Emerald Isle of Ireland. And let me give you an Irish story. You know, Tom, you make the, or Paul, you make the joke of about not from Tipperary or County Cork. Well, let's give you a story from of Baltimore, which is a town in County Cork. Let me find this story here. Where's the story about Baltimore? The town of Baltimore, Ireland, was depopulated in 1631 in the sack of Baltimore, a raid by Muslim pirates from either Algeria or Morocco. Between 100 and 237 English settlers and local Irish people were sold into slavery, of whom only 2 or 3 ever saw Ireland again. Reminders of the incident still exist in the town. The survivors fled to Skibbereen, and this town, this whole town of Baltimore, for generations was deserted. And folks, that happened all over the... Now, you're saying, wait a minute, we're not... That's not the Mediterranean, the southern tip of Ireland. No, that's right. But these Muslim raiders raided the coasts of England and France and Spain, the Atlantic coasts, the Netherlands. Get this, Iceland. Isn't that amazing, Paul? They raided Iceland, and they would pull onto the beach, capture white people, treat them the way we just described, and take them back to Muslim lands. So this whole idea, I mean, this is our actual history with Islam. And and they got away with it. They were powerful enough that Europe couldn't really stop it until the British. And our hats off to the British. The British did so. And, of course, President Jefferson did so. In his he encountered the Barbary pirates and had to deal with them. Like President Jackson. Anyway, let's go back to President Trump, and then we'll go to George in Texas. Here he is.
If we do these things, if we reawaken the confidence that inspired Jackson's victory, our country is getting its confidence back again. The character that stormed the beaches of Normandy and the courage that sent pilgrims across the ocean and astronauts to the moon, then there is nothing we can't do. For America, there is no task too great, no goal too large, no dream beyond our reach. We are witnessing a new era of patriotism, prosperity, and pride. And at the forefront of this exciting new chapter is the great American farmer. Thank you.
Now, I'll pause it right there. I'm looking at the audience, it looks like rural America. It's a whole bunch of white people, thousands of them. And I'm looking at the speech and listening to it, and I don't know that Stephen Miller wrote this speech, but I believe he's the most prominent of President Trump's speechwriters. So I'll just go on the surmise that Stephen Miller, who we talked about yesterday, is a speechwriter of these magnificent words and concepts. He's one of the reasons Stephen Miller is so successful. He doesn't claim to be the author of these things. He's a great speech writer, and no great speech writer says, I wrote the speech. You help the speaker write the speech, and you use his ideas, and you present his concept as a speech writer. You know, you make it more powerful with great speech writing. But so Stephen Miller, the subject of our show yesterday, who did this tremendous job of knocking down this new book by Michael Wolff, which he called garbage, a garbage book by a garbage writer. And here's an update for today, and then we'll go to George. Donald Trump did not add further to the response to that book, but somebody close to Donald Trump did say he didn't see a road back for Steve Bannon back into the good graces of the White House. So that was today's thought. It wasn't directly from Donald Trump. It was from a spokesman. But let's go to George right now. George in Texas, you're on the air, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Hello?
Good, good. Yes. George, let me just tell you for future calls. We always can hear you. So you're wondering whether you can hear. You can omit that question, because I tell you, as soon as you speak, we hear you.
Okay, all right. But anyway, I didn't watch the Golden Horse Awards last night. And then picking Oprah Winfrey, I think Pee Wee Herman would have been a better choice if they wanted to put up a candidate for president to challenge Trump. But anyway, talking about Andrew Jackson.
Well, the interesting thing about... Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, talking about Andrew Jackson, No, I got Native American blood in me, Cherokee. Had descendants that collapsed on the Trail of Tears. But let me tell you, and I have no resentment against Andrew Jackson, because when Andrew Jackson, after the Battle of New Orleans, the next mission is he went and took over Florida. It was because British agents were influencing the Seminole Indians to attack the people on the frontier in Georgia. So Andrew Jackson went in and kicked out the British who were influencing the Seminole Indians influencing the Seminole Indians. And at the time when, a lot of Cherokees helped Jackson, win the Battle of New Orleans and Florida. But now when Jackson is president, the Seminole Wars are starting up again because, the British, I think,
in a colonial era and the early American era, of course, this was an unfortunate aspect of the constant ethnic warfare, as that's what happens when different peoples get in close proximity, is ethnic warfare. In the French and Indian Wars, various Indian tribes were recruited alternately by the British and then by the French. It was so complex you couldn't keep score as to who was fighting whom in all those wars. But, I mean, the common denominator was, of course, that people, people were not getting along. And the let me go to something, George. Here's something that'll make you happy, and that's current news that's happened today, and this is very encouraging for today's President Jackson, Donald Trump. His action today ending temporary protected status for 200,000 El Salvadorans. Today he ended the often extended TPS temporary refugee status for 200,000 El Salvadorans, which was first granted when earthquakes hit their home country in 2001. The TPS decision underlines Trump's determination, I'm reading this at Breitbart, to enforce the nation's immigration laws, to push his Buy American, Hire American Inauguration Day promise, despite growing pressure from the GOP's Business First wing. I like that, Paul, instead of America First, Business First. Democrats and their allies in the establishment media. The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security is responsible for deciding whether or not to extend TPS status, and that's Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who is his DHS secretary. Most of the 200,000 El Salvadorans will return home by September 2019, likely boosting. Now, see, I like the way Breitbart covers this, Paul. They do this the way we talked about it yesterday, or that we did on the show, which is that the DACA people, why view them as like, oh, boo-hoo, they have to go back to their home country. Wait a minute, what's wrong with that picture? They have to go back to their home country as a Peace Corps to rebuild, to build and improve and fix their screwed up country. Is this an imposition on them? They're going back to the country where the language they speak, the people from whom they come, after having enjoyed, 10 years, 20 years of unbelievable privilege in America, which they did not deserve. Most of the 200,000 El Salvadorans will return home by September 2019, boosting this is the Breitbart take on it, boosting the small nation's economy with savings and skills earned in the United States during the last 17 years. That's the right way to spin it, Paul. Paul had to go, folks. I'm sorry. But that's the right way to spin it, George. Not that, oh, boo-hoo, these poor people that we're exiling them to El Salvador. No, they're going home to do something for their country. And then Breitbart reports, this decision will free up jobs for American citizens. many of the El Salvador migrants were actually living illegally in the United States when the earthquake actually hit their home country in 2001. And then they got themselves reclassified as refugees from the earthquake. They were already here illegally. And since then, since 2001, this temporary protected status, TPS, has been extended 11 times by Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama. So, folks, that's some good news today. Now, here's a typical crybaby story. Losing TPS would be... Oh, we're not going to have time for that story. We got one more break and then one more segment here. And a chance for one more call. George, thank you. We'll go to Scott in Arizona right after this break. Stay tuned.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey!
We're back, folks, with our politically incorrect show. Scott's in Arizona on the phone. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jamie. You know, you cited Andrew Jackson. He wiped out our debt, and he killed the bank. And Trump is afraid of the Zionist Federal Reserve Bank because apparently Trump is a Israel firster, and he won't do it, or he'll get JFK'd. You remember that's exactly what JFK did.
Let me give you an update.
Treasury
notes. Scott, let me ease your worries a little bit.
Please.
And give you an update. There are currently only four members serving on the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank, with Janet Yellen as the chairman. Donald Trump just appointed a patriot to one of those four positions. One out of only four. The first appointment he's made. And the that just occurred. So, and also, I mean, I was as surprised by this as anybody. The New York Federal Reserve Bank and the Board of Governors in Washington, D.C., both gave glowing appraisals of the Trump economic boom. Both of them said Donald Trump is creating what will be 4% annual growth, which is more than double what Obama did for 8 years, which is that is colossal. Both of them said that the boom is real, and both the New York, and these are they really run the Fed, the New York and the Washington governors, they said they will, with Federal Reserve policy, and I, like you, Scott, I said to myself, well, we were saying Donald Trump would get elected here on this show, very confident of that. But I said to myself, well, all sorts of bad things will be done to pull the plug as soon as Donald Trump assumes office, including by the Federal Reserve. They haven't done it. They haven't done it at all.
Yeah, and you're right.
Actually,
he's got to be careful. He's got to be careful. He's done a lot of good things, Jamie. No argument there, and he's subtle. He can't just do anything real quick. He's made a lot of progress. I must admit, why doesn't he get rid of Sessions? Sessions is dazed and confused. This guy has no business. Entangled in the Sessions with the prison industrial complex and the profiteering of that. We're the most incarcerated country in the world. Victim of crimes?
Yeah, more good news there today, Scott, which is that Jim Jordan, who's called for Sessions to resign, he said there's some hope. There now is some hope for Jeff Sessions because they have started an investigation of Hillary, which should lead to a prosecution. Too bad we can't cover that tonight.
Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. And we'll pick this up. We'll pick your topic up tomorrow night. Thank you. Thank you as always, buddy. See you all tomorrow night.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.